I did no science officially. I did one course unofficially after I got my Oxford scholarship. I did very little math, certainly not integral calculus. I don't think we even did differential calculus in high school. And so by the time I was ready to enter university, I had essentially no science, whatever. And I did, in fact, have some mathematics by a very happy coincidence, not thanks to the official schedule of the school at all. And somehow I felt that I really wanted to be working in a subject where there was some kind of external touchstone, whether what you were doing was correct or not. And I had no previous experience essentially zero previous experience of physics, but somehow it seemed to me maybe that was the kind of subject I should be working in. And so I decided to try to make the change. Well, I guess sometimes you hear about something which really intrigues and puzzles you, and it intrigues and puzzles you so much that you really can't sleep until you've figured it out, and you lie awake for a night for weeks and weeks until eventually something clicks and you find what hopefully you regard as a solution of the problem. And then I have to say it's a wonderful feeling. You really feel that you, I suppose it's very selfish in a way, you feel you know at least one little thing about the world that no one else knows. And that's a great feeling. Issues in science policy and technology and policy are clearly absolutely crucial for society at large. Whether global warming is a real phenomenon, if so, what we should be doing about it, and so on and so forth. Where literally, in some sense, the well-being of millions of people are at risk, and science, properly applied, can help you to answer this kind of question. But there's another reason, which in some sense is a deeper one for me, namely that almost by its nature, and in distinction to various other areas of human inquiry, science really does have incredibly rigorous rules and sanctions. If you have a theory of what's going on, then in principle at least it's testable by experiment, and usually in practice it's testable by experiment. And so you can actually get nature to tell you whether your conjectures are right or wrong, and in some sense, it's very hard to wriggle out of that. But nature, in the hard sciences at least, nature catches cheats pretty quickly, by and large. And so I think that by itself does enforce incredibly rigorous intellectual standards, which are, no doubt people in other areas of inquiry try to pursue these, but there's no automatic sanction about getting things wrong in the way that there is in the hard natural sciences. Well, there are quite a few good popular books which have been written over the last 15, 20 years dealing with topics like quantum information and so forth, and some of them I think should be accessible to a student at the kind of level you mentioned. And they could at least try to read these books and see if, perhaps they won't understand 100%, but at least they'll see if they in some sense resonate with the kind of ideas which are being proposed there. And of course, if they are, then the natural suggestion would be to try to specialise in physics and mathematics, I would think, at a high school level, and then perhaps to go on and do an undergraduate physics degree at university, where hopefully nowadays they will be get at least some exposure to this kind of fascinating idea. I have to say nowadays, because in my day, many of the most fascinating, what we now think of as the most fascinating problems, were not really taught at undergraduate level at all, but I think they are being increasingly so now. So I think these students would enjoy that.